Coming up on TMS PM, we violate a hippo.
Cool shorts and jelly bums.
A Tom Hardy man.
Four clover leaks.
Diamond in your ass with some coal.
Seinfeld, Snyder Cut.
Poopy router.
Violate my own HIPAA.
Don't mind if I do. The less you know with Dan and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS PM. Yeah, that's right. Some of you are like, wait, what's this on my feet again for? Well, we missed a day yesterday.
That's right.
So we wanted to make up for it a little bit. You know,
it's Netgear's fault. It's not my fault.
Blame the router. Had a router go poopy, and it's weird. Like, firmware updates are usually no-brainers, right? They usually go off without a hitch. But
and I look at the firmware update, and it's an hour and a half before TMS yesterday morning. I'm thinking, oh, no problem, right? Plenty piece of cake.
Yeah.
And maybe an hour before, but I'm still thinking, yeah, these things only take a minute. They're no-brainers, right? Nothing ever goes wrong.
Yeah.
Not that time. It bricked my router.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And unrelated, somebody cut another line. They're doing all this construction out here. It's just constant growth. So around, I don't know, 11 o'clock, my internet went down anyway. I mean, the show, we would have had the show done by then, but my internet took a huge dump. And got a message of sharing it with Brian. And they said, hey, don't worry, we'll have it fixed by 4. I check it a half hour later. Don't worry, we'll have it fixed by midnight tonight. And I was like, okay, well, I'll get the other old ISP wired down here and see what I can do for there. And I did. That's how we did core and some other stuff. It ended up coming back at about 7:30. So they beat their last estimate and everything's fine now. But I just kept thinking yesterday, what's going on? Why are the tech gods against us? Why do they want Brian to not have router? Why me not have internet? What?
Man.
Why?
Good thing you've got like backup ISP situation going on there. That's
It doesn't always. I'm not always ready to use it because of the way it's wired. But we when the painters came, we decided to run a little hole. So when we need it, we can just very quickly plug it in. Whereas before, we had to go outside, pull it through a window. Like, it was a big mess. I didn't have a natural way to wire the second ISP. But now it's just there. So I have a cable over there that if this one ever drops, I should be able to flip right over to it, assuming that they're not down. But a week ago, we had an outage where both were down because the main fiber box or whatever it is that controls everything for everyone, like shared, you know, two ISPs using the same infrastructure got cut. And so nothing worked. So even a backup ISP was no good for me that day. So all I had was my phone.
Just the Wi-Fi coming on through AT&T.
My phone. Anyway. All right. Hold on. Yeah. Claire Gack says her boyfriend says I look like Michael Moore.
I was hoping you wouldn't see that because that's not the thing anybody wants to hear.
I do not look like Michael Moore. In fact, if I take his glasses off, I definitely don't look like him. If I put them on, maybe a little. But he's like Jabba the Hutt, dude. I don't look like that guy.
Repeat after me. Say, shame on you, Mr. President. Shame on you.
I don't even think I don't want to. I don't want to do it. I don't like Michael Moore.
The only thing I can think of, the only like famous quote I can think of from Michael Moore.
I hate him.
Shame on you, Mr. President.
Here. I need my chin to be like... You're a little goblin that makes bad documentaries that are poorly produced. All right. Anyway, hey, we're doing it. We got a show to do. Dan will be here in a bit. So watch for that.
Cool.
I went and got my shot today. And second shot, the Pfizer, the German. There's German in my blood. And I did that. Excuse me. And it made me burp there on air. Mm-hmm. No, not really.
Oh, that's the side effect.
Yeah, for sure. I got there and... I think I may have violated a HIPAA. I may have done a HIPAA violation. Let me ask you this question. Okay.
All right.
So I decided to record in the car a little diary episode of like, hey, we're going to get our shot. What do we think about it? What are we talking about? What do we expect? Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
We get there and I'm like, I could probably you know, just in the little waiting space after the shot where they have you all spread out and sitting there for 15 minutes to see if you have a reaction or not. Maybe I'll just pull out my phone and, you know, have a little chat with Kim. And I did. It was no video. It's just audio. And it was just like right here by our faces. And we're just talking to each other as if, you know, and we're the only two that would have ever heard anything. And you can't hear anyone else because, again, we're all spread apart 10 feet apart.
Well, then there you go.
There's no violation, right? It's fine.
Yeah, I would say you're not violating anybody else's HIPAA, right? The only person who could claim it is you saying that you violated your own HIPAA by disclosing your own medical information going the date that you went to get your shot.
Oh, well, good, because I don't care about me. That's fine.
Yeah. So as long as you're not, hi, sir, what's your name? Oh, and what are you here for today?
I did make kind of fun of a guy who walked in who had an enormous head, and I made a comment that his mask fits worse than mine does. But that's not really violating his HIPAA. It's just
It is always funny to see people who for some reason get these little tiny masks, and it barely, like, it's on the peak of their nose if they move at all, it's going flunk, you know, it's going to slide down.
If they say
and
a word.
It's like just, you're seeing the chin and the tip of their nose.
Yep, they do like this. Here's an example. Let's say it's right here. Here's a mask. And they say hello. They go, hello. And
it moves exactly. Any sort of movement.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
Moves it down. Exactly.
Anyway, it went fine. Everybody took care of us well. It was super organized. And the lady that gave me the shot, she was awesome. She was this very nice lady who clearly from somewhere in Africa. I could not tell you what country in Africa, but a very African accent. Reminded me of South Africa, and it may have been, but it was just really thick and awesome. Just an amazing accent. And I didn't want her to stop asking me questions because it was such a good accent. And
could you repeat the question, please? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
She was really nice, man. She was like ASMR quality voice, and she was funny. And at one point she said, "You're not afraid of needles, are you?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Because if you're lying, I'm going to come after you," or some funny, you know, she's just being funny with me. And and she was great. So I can't complain. And we had a hamburger after, and I feel okay right now, except really tired. So,
all right.
I don't know what that tired means, Brian. I'm either just tired because I'm tired.
It could be you're tired because you're tired. It could be the precursor to more, or it could be all you get from the shot.
Yeah.
It feels like it's soon, like it's really soon after you get the shot, because that was within the last 2 hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, 12:30 was mine.
All right, about 3 hours ago.
About three hours ago, yeah, something like that. But we got home. Well, it doesn't matter when I got home. And part of this could be I'm tired because I've been thinking a lot about it and making sure, all right, I'm a little stressed. I want to make sure I get all my work done before something gets, you know, something hits me.
Right,
so I don't want to feel like I have to cancel anything else. I want it all to go well. And so I think maybe that's a little bit of the fatigue. And yeah, I keep hearing like tomorrow's the big fatigue day, so...
Yeah, don't try and watch the film sack movie tonight, because if you zonk out, that means you're going to have to watch it again.
I don't want to see SWAT twice.
It'd be double SWAT.
Yeah, I've never been SWATed before. anyway, so that's where we're at, and we're happy to be here doing a show for you guys, so thanks for being
still,
here.
9 days away, 9 days, 9 days away from my second shot.
Moderna.
The Moderna, the modern A.
Coming to get you, Moderna.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think you'll be, I'll bet you do great. You're a hardy man. You're a very hardy man.
I am a hardy man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't look at you and go, man. I don't look at you and go, ah, there's no constitution
that
there.
That wisp of a man will certainly crumble under the weight of his second vaccine.
Yeah. I think you've got this.
Yeah, no, I've got it. And I'm going to get a burger afterwards, too, because there's a new In-N-Out burger that I told you that last time. That's right by where I'm getting my shot. And
finally got some locale there on that location. That's good.
Some locale. But I'm not going to get any low-cal food, tell you that.
No, low calories. Forget it.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
I know that voice. It's Dan the Tabletop Man joining us, as he often does, about every other TMS PM. Welcome, Dan.
Greetings, programs.
Hey, is it true you also got one today? You got your last shot today?
I did about 30 minutes ago. I got my second shot.
Now the talk is at the place was they said, hey, if you've already had COVID, which you have, you're expected to react harsher to this. Do you think is there anything to that?
Really? Wow.
Is that a thing?
Who knows? I mean, it's we know so little about everything. It's ridiculous how little we know. Yeah. And so little, in fact, that I have to, you know, go on a little bit of a or off the rails a second ago. I mean, now already and say, if anybody out there, you know, I am a medical professional and I keep watching all this data. And at first I thought all this Johnson & Johnson, the side effect stuff was hocus. But I would say if anybody's in earshot, I would avoid Johnson & Johnson until further notice.
Oh, really?
That's the one shot one.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So they had some sort of contamination in one of their plants, and they're going to shut down a lot of it, and they have to get everything redone. And I don't know if I can't say for sure that any of what's going on right now with the side effects has anything to do with that shutdown.
Yeah, but
I would avoid that one if you can. And there's plenty of ways to avoid it. You can, I mean, there's plenty of places doing either Moderna or Pfizer. I myself got Pfizer. I didn't really care which one I got. I just happened to not get Johnson & Johnson. Mm. But as of right now, I would say anybody out there, I would wait and not get Johnson & Johnson and just go with the Pfizer.
Interesting.
To go back to your other point, like I said, we just don't know. I would kind of expect that I would have a little bit more side effects, but after the first one, all I had was some joint pain, and you know, my arm hurting a little bit. My arm already feels like I get hit with a sledgehammer, and it's been 30 minutes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but wow. So the reason why I got it at my house, so I have an old work wife of mine. She works at a hospital right now, and she actually had some extra doses the first time. So she actually drove it to my house because they had extra vaccine doses, and she gave it to Janice and I. So then she just happened to have, you know, of course, you got to give the second one. So today was the easiest day for her to come over, and she came over and gave us our shots today.
You got freaking DoorDash delivered freaking...
DoorDash vaccine, jeez. Baby.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Way to do it.
That's awesome, man. I mean, for us, it was like a menu.
So they've done thousands of doses, thousands if not hundreds of thousands of doses over there at our hospital. And the big recommendation right now is, Scott, I could tell you, and Brian, for when you get your next one, before you go to bed, take a couple of doses of either ibuprofen or acetaminophen, some Tylenol, before you go to bed to try and stave off some of that, you know, not feeling great when you wake up. It could help with that little bit of vaccine hangover you may get tomorrow.
No,
so
that'd be great.
I would recommend that. If you're going to go to sleep early, because you said you're a little tired, if you're going to go sleep early, just make sure put it by your nightstand with some water so you take it before you crash.
It sounds like old people things, but yes, I would do it.
Take it, put it on your nightstand so that you can take it if you wake up in the middle of the night.
I was going to say, I feel a little guilty. Why are Brian's old people always like
Sal Rosenberg? Yeah.
It's always some sour old Jewish guy.
Should I bring all my glasses with me?
I don't know why. It's
bring all
that.
My meds to the doctor.
I love that. But anyway, it's for here was like,
but yeah,
it was
keep
like
your
a menu
or a Tylenol for the next 3 days.
Yeah,
or so
I'll definitely do that. But here it was like a menu. They said to us, "What do you want?" And we said, "Oh, we get to choose." They said, "Yeah, which of the three do you want?" And it was at the place. And we said, oh, we'll just do the Pfizer, I guess. Everyone says that's cool. Okay, go in that line. Like, they had lines for all three. And I feel a little bit bad about that because I guess some people don't have a choice. They're just like, well, all we got are these dirty needles we found in the back alley. They say Johnson & Johnson. I guess they're the ones you're going to get. Like, I feel bad about that. I don't know how Utah snaked all three doses and made it, or all three types, so that we had, you know, the menu to choose from, but...
Yeah, I mean, at this point now, it's pretty, you know, depending on the state and the availability, they probably just had doses of pretty much everything. The reason why I stay away from Moderna is, you know, not necessarily stay away from Moderna, like I'd rather Pfizer over Moderna, is, man, those storage, you know, all the regulations with the storage are just so extreme that I'm like, can it possibly have never gotten to where it couldn't be for this long? Like, I get so scared. You know, when we ship out different biologics and stuff, like, they can't get over a certain temperature. And, you know, we have problems sending insulin to Texas from North Carolina. I'm like, man, I don't want to send some of these injections, though, but I don't trust how hot it's going to get. You know, and you're sending some of these things, even though they have the biggest styrofoam box with a big old brick of these ice things. I'm like, yeah, sure, it's fine and all. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, is it really?
Yeah, is it really? Is that is old Bill going to slow down when he passes the Flying J and park there too long and take a nap? And all this, it's going to get warm back. Like, yeah, it's like you start going down a rabbit hole and you don't want to think about it too hard. But anyway, I'm glad we're all there, though, man. It's the shots, and it hurts actually to lift my arm. We're all gonna be vaccinated against this horrendous thing, and hopefully get to some immunity on a larger scale, herd or otherwise. Don't care, just let's do it. And
I think
great.
We're starting to see some of that already in the society, you know, between the herd and all the ready people getting immunity. But it's going to put a damper, you know, Brian, you probably, you know, what I've been doing lately is I've been trying to make sure I get on as many bike rides as possible. Just there's definitely something that, you know, that gets in you where you just got to go, you know, even if you don't go. Yeah. You don't go more than like, I go like 5, maybe 7 miles most of the time when I ride, just, you know, you throw a podcast on in your ears and you just hammer down and you go like now. Yep. There's definitely something that people talk about, that rider's high. Like, you don't necessarily notice it, like, but you do feel like you're doing something, because I'm tired of being an old fat guy.
I know more of that. Yeah. You and me both. And you even watched me down a massive burger at the View House. Well, we both down massive burgers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we actually got the same burger. Yeah, no, it's funny. I don't notice the rider's high, the cyclist's high when I'm doing it or when I get home from doing it. I notice the absence of it on days like today when it's 40 degrees and blowing wind. And it's like, oh, I really want to get out and ride. But, you know, it's too cold to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get it. Supposed to be warm tomorrow though.
You guys are inspiring me. I need to go fix my tires. They're both flat and get out there and bike some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy
it. Get that natural high, Scott.
Yeah. That rider's high.
The only high that's legal in your state. But I don't get that one.
I know. Right. But I don't have those cool shorts and jelly bum things you use on your butt. What's that called? The goo you put in your unit.
The taint cream. What is that stuff called? The
taint cream. Gooch.
What do you have? Butt cream? Magic butt cream?
Yeah. It's like, well, it's something you put on if you're doing it, but that's only if you do a long ride. Like if you're doing a 25 or I only do it if I'm doing like more than 15
like
miles.
A competitive or charity thing or whatever, one of those.
Yeah right. Exactly,
sure.
Yeah,
so Brian, when you're doing like a 10 mile ride, are you all geared up with you know, like butt pillows and gloves and everything else?
Well, I'm always wearing the actual riding shorts. Even if I do a 5 mile, I'm wearing the bike shorts that have the padding in the keister. I'm wearing the gloves. I've got the glasses with the little mirror on the side so I can see traffic.
Nice. Greenways and stuff, or do you always go on the main roads?
We do, but we only basically, if I do the green belt, I'm going west or I'm going east. And I'm always doing, if I'm staying on just the path, I'm doing one of two rides and it's boring.
Yeah.
So I try and do a mix. I can actually do, I figured out like starting from my house, 4 clover leaves in all 4 directions of different sizes to say, all right, I'm going to go north and then I'm going to go east, then south, and then west back home. I got a short version of that and I've got a long version of that in every direction.
Are you all shocked to hear that Brian has a very organized plan for his ride? I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. Yeah, like, I wish I was more like this in a lot of ways. Like, if you say to Brian, oh, Brian, what do you know about Pokemon Go or anything? Right. Well, I've got beep, derp, bop, deep, doop, deep, 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 all this stuff lined up to do. And it doesn't surprise me, but it's kind of great as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm the guy who makes a spreadsheet when they play a video game that like, all right, I need this piece and this character and this shard and this and that and the other thing.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like when I drive past or I ride past, like people going the other way, a lot of times, you know, you always try to give the nod. And I feel like whenever the real riders are going past me and I'm wearing like lacrosse shorts and a t-shirt and a helmet, like I feel like I'm being judged by the riders like every time they pass by, like, oh, you don't have a gloves on or butt hanging over there. So,
No.
But yeah, I could tell my butt hurts after about 10 miles and my hands are just killing me.
Yeah.
The only judginess, and I'm not a judgy person because I figure people got their own stuff going on. I don't know what their life is like. So, you know, I see somebody walking down the path without a mask. I don't think, oh, jerk, no anti-masker. I think, oh, maybe they got the vaccine already, or maybe they can't wear a mask for some reason or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually only wear the mask when I'm on a path on a green belt where other people are walking. When I'm alongside on the street, I don't wear it.
Oh,
well, you're God bless you. I mean, even when I'm riding on a path, I'm like, I feel like I'm going so fast that there's no particles coming out of me that's getting into anybody.
Exactly.
You know, and now that I've had that, you know, shot number two and post, you know, post COVID and stuff. But yeah, if I was walking in on a greenway or something, I would wear a mask. But you know, when I'm in the hood or I'm just, you know, riding a bike, I'm just like, ah. But man, it's funny that like there are people. You know, you have people riding the other way or walking the other way. They won't make eye contact. Like, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm just trying to be nice and say hi.
Exactly.
North Carolina. It's not like downtown New York City. I'm like,
yeah, say hi to everybody too. And it's like sometimes people just, but I'll finish my thought earlier. So the only thing I'd be judgy about with people is seeing people riding without a helmet. Cause it's like, dude, you fall and that's, you're going to hit. And that's, you know, concussion, cracked noggin. Or worse. So so wear a helmet, people.
Physically makes me angry when I see people riding without a helmet on.
Yeah, because you know they're gonna pop, smack, and then bleed all over everything, and nobody
wants parents with little kids, and the parents aren't wearing and the kids aren't wearing. It's like, all right, you guys are doing it wrong.
Yeah, I got bad news for you. Unlike COVID, banging your head on the cement is worse for kids than adults.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're not fully formed. Exactly.
So do you guys have this this swath of cloud of pollen all over the place in Utah? And
a little
bit.
No, a little bit. No. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not it's not the worst ever this year. It's actually okay. But it's, and spring always brings the blooming onion, man. It gets pretty bad here for a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know why, because it wasn't like we had a very... We didn't have a very crazy winter, or, you know, I mean, March was a little cold at times, but it wasn't so bad where spring should have been delayed, but it seems like everything's delayed and now everything's just releasing all at once. And it's just a big yellow and orange cloud everywhere. And of course, like, I see people go into the car wash and I'm like, are you insane? Mm-hmm. 2 minutes later, it's just going to be yellow again.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you even doing?
Just why bother?
Yeah. Why bother? Right.
Why even shower? I'm just going to get dirty again.
Well, I can tell you this, even though spring is here, even though vaccines are here, even though we're all looking to some progress, there's still weekends you wanted to spend at home playing board games. And thankfully, Dan also comes prepared with a game or two to recommend to us here. Before we get to that, though, Rock Runners just busted through its fourth stretch goal and is almost to its fifth. Ooh. So if you want to support that damn thing.
Congratulations.
Yeah, now would be the time. We're going to add some other stuff as well. Where did I put that list? I had a list of the new card names, and I don't have it here, or I'd share it with you. Adding a whole bunch of stuff to it and even cooler things now that we've gotten where we are. So head on over there and check it out, frogpants.com/rockrunners. To check it out. I can't wait for Dan to get a copy so he can play it and tell me what he thinks.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get it. It'll be great.
Anyway,
so another Kickstarter, not that this is a competitor at all, not to mention a Kickstarter when yours is going on, but I think there could be some good overlaps for people that back this could back yours as well.
Oh, nice.
Finally, the Sentinels of the Multiverse Definitive Edition. It's got about 2 weeks to go. It is well funded. This is kind of, so if you're like me, and I don't know if you are, Brian, if you're like me, I have way too much Sentinels crap. I mean, my wife probably be like, if you back this, I'm like, kill you. But yeah, I mean, I didn't go, there's no all in on a Sentinels Definitive Edition, which is good there, because there's only one level where, since the new Sentinels Definitive Edition is kind of more of a entry level, kind of they streamlined some of the rules, they streamlined how the graphic design on the cards and everything is. So this is kind of a great entry point if you never did get in on Sentinels and you never, you don't really want to necessarily get all the stuff, the old game. But this is a great entry point. There's also an app for the original Sentinels in case you just want to try that out. And it's also on Steam. It's an amazing game. There's a kind of it's like an RPG on Steam. This is a little different. Sentinels in a Multiverse, kind of the card game, is on Steam by itself and also on iOS, probably Android and stuff too. But you can definitely pick that up. But this definitive edition is really solid. They've got about, I think there are 6 or 12 heroes. There are going to be 6 villains. There's 12 heroes, 6 villains, some environments, and there's some new variant cards and event cards, which is kind of a little bit of a change to the rule system, where they're kind of adding these events in there. And they have these dials and a lot of the chits. So they try to make some of the extraneous kind of chits and crap that's been all over the place in regular Sentinels. They're trying to decrease that a little bit and make sure that people really know how it plays. But this is one... that I would definitely check out as well.
So you still feel pretty good about the way that those were translated digitally. I have the PC game, but I have to admit I haven't played much of it, not because I just kind of keep forgetting that I have it. Do you still recommend those? Do you think they're...
Yeah, it's It takes a little while to play the game, but the fact that it's on the it's digital, it makes it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure there's a really good tutorial that teaches you a lot of things. And it's a pretty simple game because it's basically like draw a card, play a card, use a power. That's basically all you're doing. However, as you're chaining different things, and every hero has their own little shtick to it. Like, you know, they have the Flash analog, they've got the Superman analog, they've got the Batman analog, they've got a little bit of everything. So, but everybody, like the Batman analog has a lot of equipment that they use. There's a Haka, who's kind of like one of the tanks. I think he's a Hawaiian, kind of one of the tanks. He's got all these other different things that you kind of get into play, and then they play off of each other. So it's really cool how you get a lot of chaining the effects, and the villains are all different. There's like, there's a bunch of different villains you can use, and they all play a little bit different, and it can be very hard. Of course, like anything else, when you play a game like that, with it, that's kind of that co-op kind of feel. Sometimes the cards can just screw you and you're just going to lose. But other times, you can really come up with a good way to use the heroes. And you can play it solo with three heroes, and it's not all that difficult. And they have different heroes that have different difficulty levels, especially in a base game of Sentinels, where you can just learn it real easy. And again, a computer take care of all the, it's not like playing on Tabletop Simulator where you got to do everything yourself.
Right.
The game of Sentinels, it takes care of all the rules by itself, and it's really, really good.
Okay. I need to just crack it open and try it finally. Because I got it on sale, and I went, oh yeah, Dan always tells me this is great. I should just grab this. And then I just haven't played it. So, like a lot of Steam stuff.
Yeah, I think you could play it multiplayer, but I wouldn't even bother. I would just go ahead and just play that by yourself. Again, it's a good one where you're sitting in a waiting room for your next shot, or if anybody out there is standing on the line waiting for their shot, it's a good one to play there.
Yeah, why not?
Funny, you talk about the, your wife is saying, okay, are you done buying more Sentinels of Multiverse crap? I tried sending it in our Discord and it didn't work. I'm trying it again here. But I'm posting a photo of the rest of the Kickstarter that just arrived for Marvel United.
Mm.
And
was that done? I didn't know that was done. I thought that was I don't know what I thought.
Yeah, no.
So that's a lot of stuff.
Each of those top boxes contains between 4 and 6 additional minis. That bottom box, the really big box, contains about, 50, 60 additional minis. So, I just finally get the 8 done that came in the original box. And now
you're never leaving the basement painting.
Yeah, it's like 75 more characters that I'm gonna have to sit there and paint.
Wow. Yeah, I know what you're gonna be doing. So, you're gonna be busy painting everything. Yeah,
man, it's a shame I don't live closer. Man, I would love to play this game. We would just spend the whole weekend playing the game. But I know you can't play it until after you paint them and all. But
That's not true at all. You could totally play with them before you paint them.
Well, look, yeah. Dan, it's not like they they're moved to California. Moved to Colorado. They need people like you. So everyone's got.
Yeah, we could use you guys here. Yeah, come.
Hell, I'll get a license and I'll just open up a dispensary. It'll be all good.
Just your own. No, right, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
Push some of the herb here instead of the.
That's right. Yeah. But I do have another superhero thing for you guys.
Ooh, cool. Okay.
Right. So this is another one that came out fairly recently. It's called X-Men Mutant Insurrection, because we went down that Marvel path, so I figured we might as well keep going.
Oh, perfect. It was almost like I planned that segue.
Yeah. Well done.
So this is by Fantasy Flight Games and Richard Lanius, King Richard. He's the best. So Richard Lanius and Brandon Perdue made this from Fantasy Flight. So this kind of takes... Now, Richard Lanius, you may recognize that name. He's the one that did Arkham Horror. He also did... I'm forgetting. It's the Eldritch Horror. Well, not Eldritch Horror. There's a dice game that I'm completely... Elder Sign is the dice game that's basically...
Somewhere.
Oh, it's really good. Also, yeah. I'm not sure if the app's still out there, but there's an app for that too. It's really, really good, Elder Sign. But this kind of takes Elder Sign, puts it a little bit on its head, and adds superheroes to it, because it's a kind of a co-op dice rolling where you're trying to... every superhero, I think there's 16 in the box, and then there's some sidekicks and such that you can get, and you can use those in the game. They have some standees, but you're rolling dice to try and pass the different obstacles and such. They have, each one of these tasks that they have in the different areas, you have to roll certain symbols, and then you can get some upgrades, some other cards. And if you don't succeed, you can get hurt, or you can get some other barriers kind of that come out there. This is a real solid game. I think it's a little less than $50 at most of your friendly local game stores, but man, this is a very cool thing. I mean, I just love grabbing dice and just chucking dice, and especially got some superheroes to it too.
Yeah, no,
that's
great.
That is really cool. And I really got excited for a second seeing the first photo on Board Game Geek. They're like, oh my God, look at those minis. But those are the HeroClix. Somebody basically just said, oh, use the HeroClix minis with this. Mm. But yeah, just a simple dice chucker kind of game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it also feels kind of like the op put out. I'm trying to think, it's a Thanos Rising, which is another co-op dice chucker, where it's again Marvel, Marvel based, and you're putting together teams of superheroes, and then kind of every round Thanos is kind of attacking and trying to get the Infinity Gauntlet together. So it kind of feels like that too, because you're just building up your own bag of a pool of dice to be able to roll in each one of these things and trying to attack the villains or try to keep Thanos away from completing. So there's plenty of different avenues you can do with co-op dice chuckers for superheroes. But they also they also put out a Star Wars one and a Harry Potter one from the op. Now the Star Wars one, where I think it's Empire Rising, I don't think that was allowed in the US, but if you're crafty, you can get on Amazon DE or something. You can pick that one up and get it shipped over here. It's probably well worth, being that it has a Star Wars license, probably well worth the extra shipping. But I'm pretty sure the Harry Potter one, which I think it's Hogwarts Rising or Voldemort Rising or whatever it is, Darkness Rising. It's one of those. But I think that one is also a very cool one to pick up. Just fun to just roll dice, and it's a very family weight game, and just a ton of fun.
I like
that
dice.
Looks
stuff.
Like a blast. I'll have to pick that. That one's one I'll have to pick up.
I have a question for you that has more to do with, but it's more of an esoteric question, but a kind of a broader question. Because it reminded me of it. We're talking about all these like licensed properties, you know, Marvel and Star Wars and whatever. Do you feel like in the video game world, there was a period there where license meant garbage? It just meant shovelware, terrible. Mm-hmm. We're all going to hate
capitalizing
this.
Capitalizing on.
He was just going to
be an existing property just so you can sell.
Yeah, crap. That was going to be the whole selling point, is that it's Marvel, but you knew it was going to be literally a bad game, and you just avoided them like the plague. And then something changed, and I couldn't tell you exactly the game it was that changed it. It's a little like movies did with the MCU. Like superhero movies were kind of really hit and miss until they weren't. And then it was like, oh, okay, we're stepping up our quality, and now I can just blindly go to one of these and have a good time. Games made the same sort of shift not too long ago, where IPs now kind of get people excited about it, whatever it may be. So I'm curious, is that true in tabletop as well? Was there a shift at some point where everybody said, oh, well, traditionally all Batman games are terrible, but now, hey, Batman's cool and we make good tabletop Batman games, as an example?
Well, there was definitely a shift where all IP games sucked, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere they started getting better. I think there was kind of this wave of really good IP games. Now, the first company that started putting out really good IP games, I mean, obviously Fantasy Flight kind of has some great IP games on their own, but Gale Force 9 started putting out some really good IP games. They did Star Trek Ascendancy, which is probably the best Star Trek game out there. They also did a couple of good D&D ones. I think they did one for, it's an FX show. It was about motorcycles. Katie Sagal was in it.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, they did a Sons of Anarchy game that is actually highly regarded. So they did some, they also did a really good Doctor Who game. So that company is really good. And when it comes to miniatures game, Mantic Games is who does a lot of really good IP miniatures games. And of course you get Simon does some pretty good games depending on who's designing it. And also again, Fantasy Flight. So you really have to look at the designer and the publisher, because I would say that you're getting towards good IP games for the most part. There's still a lot of crap. Like Upper Deck, that's what it is. Upper Deck, who does all the Legendary games. Now the Legendary Firefly, oh my God, that sucked.
Yeah,
they
remember
have, like, Legendary Aliens, that. Which is great, and some other Legendary games are just amazing. But
yeah, I heard that thing has a bad rep, that Firefly game. Like, whew. People,
oh boy,
what was so bad about it? Why was it such garbage?
I mean, it was just so wonky and just didn't really play well. Like, all they had to do really was kind of reskin sort of what they did with the Aliens. So it's Legendary Encounters, so it's more story-based. Not like regular Legendary, which is Marvel Legendary. That's just a straight deck-building game. You're kind of going against the big bad, and they have a bunch of big bads. And I've got way too much Marvel Legendary. She's sitting behind me, so she knows how much games I have. But way too much Marvel Legendary. But also, Aliens came out. So Aliens kind of took everything and put it on its head. Legendary Encounters, Aliens, and you're playing against the aliens, and you're kind of playing through the first few movies, yeah. and you could actually become an alien if you get a face sucker, and then you could just become the bad guys who are trying to kill everybody. And then they put out Firefly. Oh my God, Firefly! Mm. What a big piece of crap that was. It wasn't like they skinned what they did with Aliens. They were trying way too hard. It's like you get some of your crew, and then the other crew that you don't have is actually who's part of your deck. And it was just so convoluted, and the story cards just didn't make sense. It just sucked. But there's a really good Gale Force 9, speaking of devil, they put out a Firefly game. Oh my God, it's awesome.
Really?
I mean, it takes forever to play because there's just so much going on. You're just aiming to misbehave all around the verse, and you're putting a crew together, you're doing jobs. It's awesome. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Actually, Fantasy Flight put out the Outer Rim, the Star Wars game, which is kind of like Firefly Lite, because you're doing all the same stuff, but it's in a Star Wars universe.
Mm.
Sorry, you wound me up, Scott.
No, this is good. I'm glad I asked, because it's always been a really fascinating change for me. Because really, it was like black and white, and it may have been Arkham Asylum that finally cut the garbage trend and became like the example of, oh, this is what these can be. Whereas, like, you know, Spider-Man 2, great game, but in a sea of other attempts to make superhero games or Star Wars games, kind of a rare moment. Like getting a good Star Wars game during that time was hit and miss. It's a little like knowing which Warhammer 40K game is good on Steam these days. There's so many of them, you don't know, and there's a bunch of garbage. You got to sift through it and find the good stuff. But these days, it's like, it's not even like third-party shovelware companies anymore. It's only big companies get the deals for the IP stuff. So it's EA with Star Wars, and it's, what was the other one I was thinking of? Oh, all the Marvel stuff is doled out a little bit. But for example, I guess the latest big one is Square Enix. They don't give it to small groups anymore. And not that all these games are perfect, but they're not crap, right? They're not just like, ooh, Iron Man's in it, and that's it. And then everything else plays terribly. And I don't know what changed, except it feels like Arkham Asylum was that moment where they went, oh, we can go this far with IP games. And now the expectations are like, and I wondered if there was like a parallel in board games.
Yeah, and what's interesting on tabletop now is, and it's become a little bit crazy in the last few years, is that, okay, so you can have the Marvel license for a card game, but you can't have it for a board game, and you can't have it for a dice game, but you can do so. That's why it's really weird, and they started delineated that, and I guess it's kind of the way that they can make more money. And then some companies will kind of partner with somebody else. So you see that with Mondo and Restoration Games, where they have the Unmatched series, which is a great kind of one-on-one with different decks, where they have like Robin Hood against Bruce Lee and stuff like that. Well, they're putting out Marvel games this summer because Mondo has all those licenses, so they're able to partner with them legally and put out kind of Unmatched, the different Marvel sets, and those sets look absolutely amazing. But what's also weird is, so you've got Marvel Legendary, which was through Opera Deck, like I mentioned, but they don't have the rights to make it electronically. So this is why Marvel Legendary never came to the app. However, there is a Legendary app that is the deck building game, but is all kind of skinned a little bit different because they can't, I don't think they're allowed to put
Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
Really funky.
That's the way I'd want to play it. It'd probably be my new addiction, would be the Marvel Legendary iPad app.
Well, it's the same problem.
I mean, it would be awesome. I mean, because that game is great, especially when you're, I mean, it seems like nothing. Oh, so this one happens to be, instead of a swashbuckler, this one happens to be Iron Man. Yeah, but that's big. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's unfortunate with the Square Enix game, Marvel, what's it called? Avengers,
just the plain Avengers game.
There's no subtitle, right? I guess not.
Nope.
The problem with that game is that it's really disconcerting that they went for like movie-like graphical treatment, but they can't use the likenesses of those actors in the game. Because Marvel's weird about, they're super picky about some of this stuff. I was reading an article today where, what's her name that plays Agatha Harkness in WandaVision? Catherine Kahn.
Catherine Hahn.
Yeah.
She said, somebody asked her in an interview, would you like to see this character make more appearances in the MCU? And she said, oh, I 100% would, but Disney runs a really tight ship and you never know what's going to happen over there. Like, I just get the feeling they're very careful and super controlling and execute wonderfully when they, you know, when they're hitting it right. But like, it's what hurt Star Wars. They tried, they had the same kind of carefulness, maybe even more carefulness on the Star Wars stuff. And so that trilogy kind of just felt like it wasn't taking any chances. It wasn't trying anything new. It sort of petered out in the end and nobody cared. The most creative they got was like Rogue One. And that was like really hard to get done. Like, they had to fight to keep the script changes and like all that sort of stuff. So on the one hand, it's like we live in this great time where these IP owners are definitely putting out quality stuff, but they're still like trying to make a diamond in your ass with some coal. Like, it's just so hard to get the creative control out of it. And games, I don't think, are immune to that. You know, you still have to fight up against, like, what was it? The Star Wars game for EA. One of the developer complaints was they wanted to really go nuts with costumes and cosmetics because that's what sells in games like that in terms of money after the sale later down the road. And Disney / Star Wars just wasn't having it. They're like, no, stormtroopers have to be this, 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 and this, and we're not going to do anything but that. So if that scout trooper is going to be a purple, F you. Like, they just couldn't deal with it. And yeah, it's that stuff's fascinating to me just because sometimes it works for them and it being more controlling preserves your IP. And then sometimes it bites you in the ass and stifles your creativity. And then nobody cares about your stuff anymore. So you have to balance that, I guess. But
they didn't have any problem taking that Fortnite money, did they?
No, they like that Fortnite money. Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta wonder how that works. Like, I would love an insider take on, hey, Fortnite has The Mandalorian in it this week and RoboCop next week and whatever, right? God of War the third week. Does that mean that, you know, Sony, in the case of God of War, did they pay Epic to do this or did Epic pay them to do it? Because that to me, that difference is interesting, depending on what the answer is. You know what I mean?
I bet you Epic went to Disney and were like, we want to put lightsabers and Jedi into Fortnite. They were like, we want to give you $1 million. They're like, no, we are way, way, way protective of our IP. We want to give you $100 million. Okay, when do you want it to start?
We're not quite as protective as we had previously let on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that stuff's really interesting to me from like the bird's eye view. Back down to the table, though. That sounds like a fun experience. So everybody get that Marvel game and play it. Brian, you've got the whole game now from the Kickstarter. You're painting.
I do. Everything in that right there, that shot does include the main game or the playmat, which also arrived.
Oh, did that ever come
through? That playmat takes up like half a table. It's fantastic.
Did you ever? I never. Oh, here, did you put it in a different group?
I put it in Discord,
chat. I didn't show anyone. Let me show them real fast.
Oh, well, shit.
And what's amazing about that, Brian, is that's not even Crisis Protocol. That's a completely different game.
Right. Yes, exactly. Don't get me started on the minis I've picked up for Crisis Protocol that I haven't painted yet.
Oh, my gosh.
At least I've got everything but Dr. Octopus painted from the original set of Marvel Crisis Protocol.
You literally, those boxes now are the size of a person that would normally sit on that couch. That's how much stuff you got.
Well, not quite. I mean, it looks like it's bigger than it is, but that's like a half. That's a lounge.
Yeah, if there's a bigger Marvel nerd on this planet, I don't know who it is. It's Brian is who it is.
It's definitely me.
Yeah, nobody comes close.
And I'm guessing that Marvel United, that it plays well. I haven't played that one.
It's a blast. Yeah, and what's great is it's not just like insert your whatever hero you want here, insert whatever villain you want there. All the villains play differently, at least out of the core set. You can even see the plastic still on most of these boxes. The core set, all the different villains and the different heroes play very differently. So it's not just a matter of, oh, all right, Captain America gets extra armor compared to Black Widow, who has extra agility. It's a whole different style of play, which is great. You know, Ultron leaves his little Ultron minions all over the board and you've got to take them out. Thanos has there's a countdown you've got to get to with Thanos, and it's really, really cool.
I was wondering if you play like Arcadia Quest or Starcadia Quest, but I think they've kind of changed the gameplay up a little because it has the same chibi look as Arcadia Quest, but I think it plays a little bit different than that one.
Who knows? Yeah, it might. Yeah. And I do know they're starting to talk about Marvel United X-Men. So that's going to be coming out at some point here, and it's just going to be more shit for
another big box, because they have a ton they can draw from in that.
Totally,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Get a what do you call it? A mortgage? What's that called? A second mortgage? Build an add-on to the house. Make it your Marvel shit room.
What I really need to do is just figure out a way to clone myself to be able to sit there and paint. Like, hey, what you working on now? Clone of Brian MODOK. Awesome. Yeah. Keep painting, buddy. That's your only job.
Keep at it.
And you know, come on. They're just waiting, because there's so many people like us at home. They're shaking, waiting for the X-Men to come out so they can just click the back button, because yes, they know it'll just print money.
The back
button. Oh, it totally will. I mean, they've already put a photo on their site of Magneto, and it's like, oh, this looks so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch out for him. He'll take your metal and move it around. That's what he does.
He'll move your metal.
All right. Well, this is great. Dan, always fun having you on, man. And I'm glad you got your second shot. I didn't know you and I were twinsies on the dates. I'd forgotten about that somehow.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday, too, by the way. It's his birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I hope you had a good birthday with Taylor.
Yeah, I did. That's the problem, is my daughter's birthday is that same day, and it kind of takes over everything in my head as far as birthdays go, and I miss everybody else's that day. And you're not the only one. There's like three other people who I just missed saying happy birthday to, and I felt bad about it.
Three other amazing people.
Yeah, amazing people. And Dan sends me a text that says, hey, happy birthday to your daughter. That's awesome. No hint about his reminder that it's his birthday. And I'm just, oh, thanks, man. I'll pass it on. And then 2 days later, I'm like, shit. It's his birthday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, happy birthday. I hope it was good. And, you know, your wife got
something. Oh, it was great. My wife spoiled me. I got a nice new iPad that I'm just adding all sorts of things to. And I'm afraid to touch it. You know, you get things like that. You don't want to touch them and break them.
Yeah, you got to be careful. They're pretty resilient, but... I still have a first gen, you know, the big thick fat one that still works and has fallen 1,500 times. It never breaks. It's just a beast.
Yeah.
I'll never get rid of that thing. I'll never use it again.
We can call ourselves that, can't we? Because, you know, you said the big thick fat one. I can call myself first gen Dan.
Yeah, you're first gen Dan.
That's why I'm a big thick
fat guy.
That's right. They haven't made 2.0 Brian, which is the clone, which is of their painting, much skinnier because they figured out the physics.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize that was one of the added benefits of a clone in 2021. They'll be skinnier than you.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
All right. I need to get in on this tech. All right. Excellent stuff, Dan. It's always great to talk to you. My best and our best to your family and everybody. And we will see you next time.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you later.
Man. See you.
Oh, I forgot to mention all your show stuff. I should do that. Show things. Beyond Haze on shows. Hold on, Dan. You still here? Oh.
Yep, I'm still here.
Tell everybody. I screwed up.
We just recorded the Geek All-Stars. We just recorded a good show this week where we dove into WandaVision and the Snyder Cut. So if you want to hear us argue about me being the only person in the world who actually likes all things DC and the Snyder Cut, we talk a little bit about Invincible as well, the Loki trailer, and, of course, Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I think is amazing.
Oh, dude. But,
yeah, we talk about all those great things. We kind of went away from board games for an episode, and we just decided to talk all things geek. So check that out on the Geek All-Stars.
I could spend a day sitting with you talking about DC, because I'm going to just say it now. I don't want to be controversial here. I enjoy their comics more, and I enjoy their animation more, way more than Marvel's. And even though their Marvel's killing it on the MCU front and TV front, when it comes to comics, I'm a DC guy. So I'm with you, dude.
That's my nothing boy.
Don't all tell wrong Brian. With that.
Don't tell Brian.
Oh, please. Right. It'd be balance each other out, right? Yeah. Like, somebody's got to be the Marvel guy. Somebody's got to be the DC guy.
That's
the DC
right.
guy.
Bring balance to the TMS.
Yeah, but I like to love it all. You know, I just love it all. I mean, I'm obviously a DC zombie.
Hey, you know what you should do? You got to read The Last God. It's so good. Have you read that series by chance? It's a Black Label thing. It used to be Vertigo. I just got through issue 9. That's all that's on the app right now. I'm just waiting for the new ones. It's so good. It's this original thing. It's not any heroes, capes, and cows or anything. It's all like almost like a D&D story. In fact, one of the issues, the entire issue, is a functional what do you call it? D&D source book for that world.
Oh, wow.
So it's so D&D that they literally made it so you could go like have a scenario where all these creatures are like, you know, we know what their DC is and what all their abilities are and everything. It's very freaking cool. I love it. You would love it, dude. You really would like it. You gotta
have to check that out.
Yeah.
And of course, like I said, you guys, I mean, you have to love Invincible.
I love Invincible.
The show is ridiculously good.
Yeah. It's so good. I only got through the first episode, just didn't have time, but I'm already loving it. And I'd forgotten that J. Jonah Jameson was the voice of the dad. what's his name? J.K. Simmons. I totally forgot that.
Yep.
So that was a nice surprise. All right. Hey, now for real, go have a nice day.
All right. See you guys. Bye now.
Forgot to give him his plugs, man. What am I thinking?
I blame it on the Pfizer. It's the Pfizer what did it.
All right. Well, that's going to be about the show. This is about it, everybody. It's an hour. That's what we do for PM.
Yeah, that's all we do.
We give you an hour. In this case, everybody got the hour. It's not just patrons, although we'd love it if some of you non-patrons headed on over there and signed up, patreon.com/TMS. Not only do you get this extra episode a week, but during the week for Monday through Thursday, you get like almost 30 minutes of bonus content every day on the audio feed. Ad free, beautiful, wonderful content of us saying really stupid things. Mm-hmm. Brian dropped the biggest F-bomb the other day.
I did.
It was something, man.
I did. You'll never hear me do that on the show.
Nope.
But boy, will I drop it in the pre-show.
Yeah. Oh, and some Bobby sent me this. I don't know if I'm supposed to play it, but I'll play it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Some ANTP thing.
I really wish I could remember the context of that.
Yeah. You were into it.
And, I was.
Yeah, it was real good. Anyway, so go check it out. That's, again, patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, wordfrogpants.com/TMS. And we'll be back with a film sack this Sunday. Hopefully a TWBD tomorrow. We'll see how I'm feeling. I don't know. I'm planning on it because we need to. It's a finale and we really need to get through it. So if I have to zombie through it, I will. But oof, it's going to be weird. So anyway, enjoy us for that. Join us for that is what I'm trying to say. And Brian now will play a song so that we can go. Brian, what do you got?
I will. Yes, this one's going out to Leslie Victory. And well, technically not Leslie, but her son Logan. Hey guys, it's that time of year again. That's right. The baby that Kim almost took home at BlizzCon 2013 is turning 8 today, April 9th. That's a Friday this year, but I'm a proud patron, so feel free to play it on the day. If not, any day around the 9th will do. Logan is obsessed with the Narwhal song, a classic from 2003, 2006, somewhere around there.
Narwhal? Why don't I remember that? What is
Narwhals? Narwhals, they are great. They have a horn on the center of their face or something.
Really?
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. All right. Keep going.
So I found a delightful piano cover of it that I think he'll enjoy. It's no longer Mommy's Worst Song, as he likes to call it, because I really like this version too. Happy 8th birthday, Logan, says Leslie Victorine. Well, nice. Happy birthday, Logan. And I had to go back and look for the original because this one didn't remind me what the original sounded like. This is a piano cover.
Shit. I don't know why that started. Sorry. Keep going.
Oh, that's right. It's a piano cover of the Narwhal song, or Narwhals Are Awesome, or whatever it's called, by Kay Weeby, something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, here it is. It's the piano version of the Narwhal song.
Awesome. Happy birthday, Logan. We'll see you guys Monday. Bye now. Thank you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
Yeah. What kind of a deal?
I love,